Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And we know that there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode, I am still excited. It excites me to be able to share the Word of God with as many as I meet and greet. And in this instance, we are still in the book of Proverbs. And we know that the book of Proverbs is the wisdom of Solomon. And we know that Solomon was the wisest man to walk the face of the earth, best both spiritually and physically. And with that in mind, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or even inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you have given me and are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So I encourage you to continue to do that. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing, still standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that does these things shall never be moved. My precious brothers and sisters, that's taken from Psalms, chapter 15, verse 5. The promise is that you will be never moved if you hold true to these precepts and commandments that God has just given through King Solomon. Again, God said, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23. My precious brothers and sisters, the promise is that we will be fed if we adhere to the shepherd that God has set up over David's kingdom. And we know that that shepherd to date for we who are Christians is Jesus the Christ. And again, God said through King David, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 130. My precious brothers and sisters, the promise is that you will receive an understanding of God's word if you adhere to it. So, the question is again this hour, are you standing on these promises? Now, before we get started, as I always do, I like to emphasize, I rehearse this for the purpose of your understanding and mine also. That reminder, the Bible is written in code. It is a code book, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we're here right now, my precious brothers and sisters, to study and learn together. Okay, let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verse 5. And as I have said in the past, that the instruction that I'm going to give and the verse text sometime are identical. In this instance, they are. The instruction I want you to pay attention to, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty to want. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters. And the scripture is identical. It says in verse 5 of chapter 21, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. And that tells us to take our time and to focus and to stay the course. Now to add emphasis or to give a good example of this, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Turn your Bible sources with me to Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to be looking at verse 3 through 7. And listen to what Isaiah said. And this is in direct consonance with the scripture and the instruction. It says, thou wilt be kept in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That means your thoughts are diligently focused. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city he layeth in low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust, to those who are hasty. Verse 6 continues, the foot shall tread it down, even the foot of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The ways of the just is uprightness. Though most upright, thus wait the path of the just. So Isaiah is prophesying, substantiating the fact that we must be diligent and not hasty. And now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to look and see what Jesus has to say about this in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be reading verse 14 through 30. And this is going to give us an understanding, my precious brothers and sisters, by parable of being diligent and hasty. And those who are diligent will receive much, and those who are hasty will receive little and even have what they already earned taken away from them. This is what Jesus is telling us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. And this is what it says. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents, and I see we're at the first break. Let's take that first break, and then we will return to the study.
What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Suppose he had all the knowledge and all the wealth and all the power in the whole world today and lost your soul. You see, the whole country is on a quest for something. In drugs, in sex, in entertainment, we want something. We don't quite know what it is. And it's elusive. We don't find it. We go on in our pleasures thinking they're going to last forever. But they don't. Solomon was the great king of Israel, the son of David. His income was staggering. Nobody that ever lived in history could compare with Solomon in financial worth. Anything he could dream of, he had it. You know how many wives he had? 700. But that didn't satisfy. He had 300 concubines. Every pleasure at his beck and call. He thought it would bring the peace that he longed for. And then he said, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. It was a bubble that burst. It didn't satisfy. Something beyond it satisfies. What is it? What is it? Deep in your heart, something is missing. You don't know what it is. The thing that's missing is that personal relationship with Christ. You see, sin is a disease. It's destructive. And we all have it. The Bible says all have sinned. What can we do about it? Come to the cross. Let Christ forgive your sins, change your life, turn you in a new direction, and give you a new mind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the embodiment of all truth, and I can set you free. Free from your anxieties, free from your troubles and problems. We need to repent and turn by faith to Jesus Christ. What is repentance? It means that you change your way of thinking, you change your way of living. It means that you're willing to turn over your life to Christ, turn over your life to God and say, oh God, I need you, I receive you. And then by faith you receive Christ. Christ. Have you received him? Do you know him? God is speaking to you. Come to Christ.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with Jesus explaining to us why diligence is so important in our lives and why hastiness takes away from it. We're in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30, and we're going to continue with reading verse 16. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. And that was being diligent. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. That's being hasty. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That is what diligence gives you. Now he, verse 22 continues, he also that had received two talents came and received and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And again, being diligent, he was rewarded. Then he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, thou hast art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and giving where thou hast not strawed. are gathering where there has not straw. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thou that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put money to the exchanger, and then at my coming I should receive my own with usury. See, he was hasty. Take therefore the five from him. That's what he did, and gave it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that had shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But him that hath not shall be taken away even which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there is the weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is what we need to understand, my brothers and sisters, and that's why I read that parable all to you, that it is significant to be diligent and not hasty. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should hold fast to the Bible's principles to be prosperous and be not too quick to follow worldliness. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to take another instruction out of Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verse 19. And as I read the verse to you, or the verse and instruction, they'll be identical, but I want you to keep in mind that this is what I'm trying to relate to you as the instruction. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And this is the other part of the text, or I should say is what I am trying to get you to understand. And I gave you the wrong reference. We're in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9 and verse 19. And let me start over and tell you that this is the instruction. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. This is telling us, my brothers and sisters, that to be focused and concentrated is better to be open and submissive. This is what Proverbs 21, verse 9 says. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, verse 19 concludes the thought. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. It is telling us it is better to do good than to do wickedly. And this is what Job is going to refer to us. He's going to reemphasize this in Job chapter 1, verse 1. It's the example that God showed unto Job and to us through Job that will substantiate what we read in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9 and verse 19. Listen to the example of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So this is the example. Now listen to what 21 continues to say. 21 says, and Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we have to be very careful in how we dwell in this world, receiving what God gives us and not looking at what others are having and trying to be a part of that. Verse 22, he continues with the example, and in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So you have to make sure you remember that it is better to dwell with what you receive than to go out and try to make more with what you see others having. And this is to continue with Job's, you know, exposure, Job chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Job chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Listen to what Job said. Job said, then he said unto his wife, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said unto her, as one of the foolish women speaketh, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, this is telling us again that it is better to dwell in what we have than to go out and just watch others and try to duplicate what they have. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to see how Paul, preparing and agreeing with what Job said or what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 21, this is how Paul told the Corinthians about the same. Paul said in verse 33 and 34 of chapter 15, listen, be not deceived, my precious brothers and sisters. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Tis to your shame. What Paul is telling us, that we are to dwell better with what God gives us than what the world shows us we can have on our own. And going to verse 57 and 58, it completes the thought. Paul says this to the Corinthians, and this is what we should be responding to. I see that we're in the second instruction. Pause. Let's take the second break, and then we'll come back and complete this instruction.
So it isn't sin that torments. It is the guilt, the weight, the burden, a sin of being wrong, of having wronged someone, of having mistreated someone, of having stolen from someone, lied on them, or betrayed them. It is not the sin, it is the guilt, the aftermath, the fleeting thoughts, the struggling of a tormented soul, wrestling with your behavior and struggling with your choices. The guilt of sin. If this woman was tormented, she wasn't tormented by sin itself, but the guilt of sin. If sin has guilt, and we have all sinned, I think, then it's safe to assume that we have all had guilt. Guilt has torment. Guilt has pain. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's driven people to liquor bottles. It's driven people to stick needles in their arms. It's driven some people to put a gun to their head because they could not live with the guilt of sin. Not just sin, the guilt of abandoning children, the guilt of giving a child away, the guilt of abortion, the guilt of lying, cheating, the guilt destroying a life, the guilt of infecting a person, the guilt of betraying a confidence, the guilt of breaking a heart, the guilt of destroying a life. It's not that you don't go on. You can go on because you're tough, you're strong, you're relentless, strengthen your back, hold your head up, you're riding above it. But nobody knows the weight of guilt. Comes out in our behavior, comes out in our temper tantrums, comes out in our hostility, comes out in our pride, comes out in our arrogance, and beneath all of these trappings, down at the root, there's guilt.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete this thought on it's better to dwell in the corner of a house top than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And this is how Paul concludes it with the Corinthians, telling them that they should focus on being to dwell with what God gives you and not to be trying to do more or get more than what is provided to you by God. Listen to what he says. Be thankful, be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. For as much as ye have that labor, that your labor not be in vain in the Lord. And that is so significant for us to realize that the little that we have is better than the more that comes from what we don't have, if God has not given it to us. Now let's look at, this is what I want you to get more from this particular instruction, that we want to be very careful when we contest those who are, only have the knowledge of good and evil, because death can be the end result. If you are only waiting or listening to what comes from those that don't have the knowledge of everlasting life, you can be misled to want more than what God is providing for you. And that's why I am telling you this, and hopefully this will be the instruction you receive from what we just read in the proverb. Okay, let's go back to the next proverb. We're going to go to 21 again, take another example out of Proverbs chapter 21, this time verse 10. And this is, again, the saying of the proverb, and it is exact as the instruction. The instruction is, the soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Evil is relentless. My brothers and sisters, this is what verse 21, verse 10 says. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Listen to what the psalmist has to say about this. We're going to go to Psalms 37, and we're going to hear how David instructs Israel concerning the same. Listen to what David says about this. Psalms 31, verse 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. My brothers and sisters, you got to be careful. Wicked looks at nothing but wickedness or evil. And this is what Psalms 12 continues to say. David says more. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. That's all the wicked is going to do, is promote and induce evil. Now listen to what verse 32 through 34 says, and this is completing the thought. This is what David says to Israel. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And that's what is significant, my brothers and sisters. And that tells us that wickedness is only going to result in failure. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how James puts it in the book of James. Turn with me to James. We're going to look at James chapter 4, James chapter 4. And the verse we're going to read is verse 1 through 6, James chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. And listen to how James puts it. James says, from whence comes wars and fighting among you? Came they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? That's the evil, my brothers and sisters. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Ye have not because ye ask not correctly. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But he giveth, God giveth more grace, where he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So you can see that the soul of the wicked only desires evil, and the end result is their demise. Now, this is what I want you to get from this instruction, that evil begets evil only. Evil has no friends. It is a malignant cancer that destroys even itself. It has been cursed by God and cannot be tamed. Evil destroys. And that's what I want you to understand. And if you are minding in your mind that you are contemptuous, if you have envy in your mind, all of those attributes will cause destruction in your life. And that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's return now. We're going to go back to Proverbs, and we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 21 again. We're going to get another instruction out of Proverbs chapter 21. In fact, we're going to be looking at verse 21 in Proverbs chapter 21 this time. And, of course, again, the instruction and the texts are about the same. So here's the instruction. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life. And the text says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. And when we go to Psalms chapter 37, we're going to see how, again, Solomon or King David substantiated this, made it clearer, you might say, in Psalms 37 to the Israelites, verse 16 through 19. Listen to what King David says. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. You can see how David adds more impetus to being righteous and following that. And this is where he completes the thought in verse 25 through 39. David says, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So it tells us that he that follows after righteousness and mercy findeth life. He that does not findeth destruction. And now let's go to 1 Timothy, and we're going to see how Paul said it to Timothy in this wise. Comparing and agreeing, turn your Bible sources with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verse 9 through 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I see that we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
I want to focus on that wonderful concept, that vital virtue that unfortunately and regrettably is often forgotten, the virtue of kindness, being kind. I want you to hear a story. 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. When I arrived at 2:30 in the morning, the building was dark except for a single light in a ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many cab drivers would just honk once or twice, wait a minute, then drive away. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation to drive away. Unless the situation smelled of danger, I always went to the door. So I walked to the door and knocked. "Just a moment," answered a frail, elderly voice. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 80s stood before me. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. "Would you carry this bag out to the car for me?" she said. I took the suitcase out and returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "Oh, it's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat all my passengers the way I would want my mother treated." When we got in the cab, she gave me an address. Then she said, "Oh, by the way, could you drive through downtown? It's not the shortest way." "Oh, I don't mind. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror and her eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left," she said, almost to herself. "The doctor says I don't have very long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to take?" For the next 2 hours, we drove all around the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow down in front of a particular building or corner. She would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, "Okay, I'm ready. Let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They were expecting her. I opened the trunk, took out the small suitcase, carried it to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked. "No, you don't owe me anything," I said. "Oh, you have to make a living," she answered. "Oh, there are other passengers," I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent over and gave her a hug, and she held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little bit of joy," she said. "Thank you." I squeezed her hand, then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought for the rest of the day. I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten in an angry driver earlier that morning? Or one who was impatient? What if I had refused to take the run, or had honked once and driven away? On a quick review, I don't think I have done anything more important in all my life. I love that story. It sort of helps me allow life to make up its mind again. You need to remember that story. The times you will want to be anything but kind. Because it is so much easier to bear a grudge and hate in return, or get back, or get even. Hate destroys the vessel it's kept in. Revenge never healed a wound. There's one thing all of us have in common. We've been mistreated by somebody. Some of you have known abuse, misunderstanding. And all of this has a way of siphoning your tank of kindness. It can make you hard. You can get on with hard. You can get along with it. In fact, some will even respect you more because you're tough. But I urge you not to be. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. When I'm truly free of revenge and bitterness, there is plenty of room in my heart left for kindness. And not until. Do what's right. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with your God.
Maybe you were...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were looking at he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life. And we were comparing and agreeing. We were looking at the New Testament where 1 Timothy is told by Paul this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 through 12, listen to what Timothy was told by Paul. But they that will be rich fall into condemnation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after it, they have erred from their faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, man, O man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So Paul is telling Timothy that, hey, you must follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness and be successful in having life. And that life is not only eternal life, but it is also life sustained this side of eternity with godliness. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we should follow after basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, in its entirety to be successful today. You hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? We need to follow after it in its entirety to be successful today. And that is what I'm trying to tell you in this instance. Now let's go to the next instruction. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to get another instruction out of Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 23 this time. Proverbs chapter 21, excuse me, chapter 21. We're still in chapter 21. Verse 23, and this is what the instruction is that I want you to keep in mind. Whoso keeps his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? This is going to be a good one. He that keeps his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. And this is what Solomon told Israel in verse 23. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. And now we're going to go to Psalms 120, and we're going to see how King David put it to Israel about the mouth and tongue, how it can devastate you. Listen to what Psalms 120 says about the mouth and tongue, verse 1 through 7. King David says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. David said, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelled with them that hate peace, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is what David's psalm is saying about the tongue and the mouth. It will bring you trouble, as it did with David. And now, turning to our New Testament complement, let's go to James chapter 3, and we're going to see how James said it to the disciples and to the people that he was dealing with, the same significance, how the tongue and the mouth are troublemakers. I see we're at the last break of this evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll return to the lesson.
So it isn't sin that torments. It is the guilt, the weight, the burden of sin, of being wrong, of having wronged someone, of having mistreated someone, of having stolen from someone, lied on them, or betrayed them. It is not the sin, it is the guilt, the aftermath, the fleeting thoughts, the struggling of a tormented soul, wrestling with your behavior and struggling with your choices. The guilt of sin. If this woman was tormented, she wasn't tormented by sin itself, but the guilt of sin. Now, if sin has guilt, and we have all sinned, I think, then it's safe to assume that we have all had guilt. Guilt has torment. Guilt has pain. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's driven people to liquor bottles. It's driven people to stick needles in their arms. It's driven some people to put a gun to their head because they could not live with the guilt of sin. Not just sin. The guilt of abandoning children, the guilt of giving a child away, the guilt of abortion, the guilt of lying, cheating, the guilt of destroying a life, the guilt of infecting a person, the guilt of betraying a confidence, the guilt of breaking a heart, the guilt of destroying a life. It's not that you don't go on. You can go on because you're tough, you're strong, you're relentless. Strengthen your back, hold your head up, you're riding above it. But nobody knows the weight of guilt. Comes out in our behavior, comes out in our temper tantrums, comes out in our hostility, comes out in our pride, comes out in our arrogance. And beneath all of these trappings, down at the root, there's guilt.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at the book of James, and it's going to give us the complement and comparison to what Proverbs 21, verse 23 said, in whoso keepeth his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Listen to what Paul says. James said about it, which is so significant to us today. Listen, he says in verse 1 and 2, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body. Continues with verse 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. And verse 8 continues, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And verse 10 completes the thought. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. So we can see that whosoever can keep control of his mouth and tongue will be held void of trouble. And that is so significant. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the knowledge of good and evil comes out of the mouth, and that will kill the soul. My precious brothers and sisters, if you don't realize it, that it's the knowledge of good and evil that causes us to get into trouble with God. And the end result is death. And the only way we can control it is through the knowledge of everlasting life, which maybe many have not discovered yet, but it is the one that gives us what we need to overcome that trouble that is caused through the knowledge of good and evil. That's what I want you to get from this understanding. And for those who do not know how to get to the knowledge of everlasting life, basic instructions before leaving earth. Go to John chapter 17, verse 1 through 3. Jesus identifies it for you. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. And this will be the last one of the evening. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 21. All of our instructions this evening has been taken from Proverbs chapter 21. And we're going to look at verse 25 and 26. And this is what the instruction is saying, and it is identical to the two verses I'm going to read, or almost identical. Anyway, this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The desire of the slothful kills him. That is so significant, and we're talking about those who are lazy and disconcerting and lackadaisical. Listen to what the verse says about it, the verses. Verse 25 and 26 says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covet greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spare not. So it's telling us that being lazy has its destruction on us. And this is how Ecclesiastes puts it more clearly. Turn with me, if you will, to your Bible sources, to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and listen to what verse 18 says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. But much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hand, the house droppeth through. So it's telling us that being lazy is going to be problematic for us, my brothers and sisters. And verse 2 and 3 adds to this thought. It says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Verse 3 continues, yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. And he saith to everyone that is, he is a fool. So when we see those who are slothful, we know that they're headed for destruction. And verse 10 completes the thought, or verse 12 completes the thought, when verse 12 of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up. That is telling us that we need to be doers and not sayers only. Now we're going to go to 1 Timothy, again in 1 Timothy, and 1 Timothy is going to give us a conclusion or a comparison and an agreement with David or King Solomon told Israel. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7 through 13. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7 through 13. Listen to what Paul taught Timothy about these things. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied his faith and is worse than an infidel. It tells us that we must be prosperous in good doings and not be weak in doing nothing. Verse 9 continues, let not a widow that be taken into the number under 80 years old have been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. What I'm doing, my brothers and sisters, is giving you what Timothy is telling, or Paul is telling Timothy, and it is directed at women, but this in general should be a concern of all of ours. Being lazy will not get us to any success this side of eternity in the world or with God. This is continuing. Verse 11 says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to. And what this is referring to, again, is about widows in general, but I'm telling you, my precious brothers and sisters, this holds true for anyone that is lazy and slothful and not diligent and working. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, and this is what my intent is for this particular instruction, that God hates idolatry or idolatry. So be very careful on what you concentrate on. And that means that laziness can be an idol and it will destroy you. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, that completes the lesson for this evening. And what I'd like to do before we conclude is remind you that the host and I appreciate your listening in and taking part. And we I'd like to thank you for that participation and ask our Lord God Almighty to bless you.
Joining us on our new time for basic instructions before leaving Earth, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night for basic instructions before leaving Earth, BIBLE. Good night.